Chapter 4. Miss Fallon, you need to go to the office. Huh? Vicky said, startled by Miss Ford's announcement. She had been daydreaming through geometry, pretending to listen to Miss Ford's lesson on congruent triangles. She had hardly noticed the office aide come into the classroom and whisper something in her teacher's ear. The office, Miss Fallon. The secretary wants you there right now. Why? What'd I do? Vicky said as she got up from her desk. The day was almost over. Just one more class to go. Ooh, girl, you got busted, joked Shanetta Green from two rows back. Yeah, right. Like she'd do anything wrong, teased Rosalind Webb. Vicky felt her classmates watching as she stepped into the quiet hallway. In all her years of school, she had been called to the office only once. That was the day her grandmother died suddenly of a massive heart attack. The memory made her shudder as she rushed to the office. What if something happened at home? Is it abuelo? Hi, honey, said Miss Bader, the school secretary, as soon as Vicky arrived. You have a message. Your mom called. She needs you to go straight home after school today. What for? Vicky asked. Is something wrong? No, no, Miss Bader said with a reassuring smile. She just needs you to stay with your grandfather until she gets home from work. For a second, Vicky was relieved. But then it hit her what Mom was asking. What about Martin? I'm supposed to meet him after school, she wanted to say. So nice that you spend time with your grandfather, Miss Bader added. When I was your age, my grandfather was my best friend. Vicky wanted to scream. No, not today, she almost yelled the words. Why can't Dad do it? Or Danny? It's not fair. She knew Abuelo couldn't be alone for long, but after the night on the couch, the embarrassing moment in Mr. Mitchell's class, and the fight with Teresa, the one thing she looked forward to was her time with Martin. And now that was being taken away. Vicky felt like a blister about to explode. Are you feeling okay? Miss Bader asked. Vicky scowled at the old woman. Yeah, I'm fine, she grumbled, wishing everyone would just disappear. Vicky stormed to her locker after the final bell. She had hoped to explain things to Martin and leave without seeing Teresa. Just the thought of her made Vicky's eyes twitch. Man, what's your problem with her? Said a deep, husky voice. Don't you remember? She's the one that ratted you out. You heard what happened in Luna's hearing. Why don't you just forget about both of them? They ain't worth it. Vicky turned to see Clarence, a huge lineman from Bluford's football team. He always had Steve's back, especially in his fights with Martin. Clarence was talking to Steve Morris. The two were coming down the hallway toward her. Boy, I don't need your permission to talk to her. You just don't get it, Clarence. Me and Vicky go way back, Steve said, glancing at her. Look, I'll catch up with you at practice. Later, he said, bumping fists with his teammate. Clarence looked puzzled as he walked by, leaving Steve alone in front of her locker. Vicky scanned the bustling hallway for Martin. He was nowhere in sight. What do you want? She sighed. Come on, Vic, Steve scoffed, shaking his head as if he was insulted. His black hair, coiled in tight cornrows, danced on his shoulders. Why you gotta be like that? Be like what? I shouldn't even be talking to you. Not after everything you did to Martin, she said. Steve rolled his eyes. Look, I know you're all into him now, but you gotta wake up, girl. Since you're not talking to Teresa, I figure you talk to me. Huh? Teresa told me y'all are fighting. I can't believe she's talking about me to you, Vicky said, feeling her head throb with anger. Who does she think she is? Calm down, Steve said. This ain't about her, it's about you. She's worried. You ain't been right since Martin started coming around. Don't you start with me, Steve. You don't know what you're talking about. Girl, why you getting so upset? Back in the day, I remember you sticking up for me. Maybe you don't remember it, but I do. I'm just trying to return the favor. I don't need your help, okay? Just stay out of it, Vicky yelled. You heard her, Holmes. Leave her alone. Vicky turned to see Martin dart between her and Steve. Steve's eyes widened, and he stepped back cautiously. He was maybe 4 inches taller and 30 pounds heavier than Martin. Yet, she knew the difference would not stop Martin. She could tell by the hard set to his jaw that he was ready to fight. She couldn't let that happen. Another fight, and he would be sent back to Superintendent Gates again. And this time, he wouldn't get a second chance. It's fine, Martin, she said quickly, grabbing his shoulder and pulling him back away from Steve. We were just talking. About what? Martin demanded. There was an edge to his voice that she hadn't heard before, almost as if he didn't trust her. Nothing, she told him firmly. Steve was just... We were just talking about you, Sanchez, Steve cut in. He flashed a smug grin and waited, as if he expected Martin to do something. What? You don't believe me? Ask her. Martin glanced back at Vicky. She could tell he wasn't sure what to believe. It was nothing, Martin, she said. Don't listen to him. She don't want you to know I'm looking out for her, Steve said. That ain't your place, Holmes, Martin growled. She don't need you to take care of her. Come on, Martin, ignore him, let's go. Vicky pulled at Martin's arm, but it didn't budge. No, it is my place, Steve snapped. See, me and her used to be tight. We were friends back when you were just a wannabe thug tagging walls in the barrio. I'm just making sure she's okay, he added. You understand, Holmes? Vicky felt Martin's muscles tighten. She knew he was about to snap. Boy, you starting with me again? He hissed. Didn't you learn last time? Would you two just quit it? I don't need anyone to take care of me, Vicky snapped, tugging on Martin's shoulder. Come on, she repeated. Martin shrugged her hand aside. He seemed unable to walk away. Steve grinned. It was the same mean smile Vicky had seen when Steve shouldered someone on the basketball court or hit someone hard on the football field. Maybe part of him was concerned for her, but another part of him wanted something else, to see Martin go down. Vicky could see it in his eyes. Yeah, you should probably go, Sanchez, Steve said then. I know you can't afford to get in trouble again, not after your hearing and all. Martin's eyes narrowed. Vicky could almost feel the anger burning through his skin like a fever. She knew he was ready to pop. What, you got something more to say? Steve asked mockingly. What you gonna do? Is there a problem here, gentlemen? Vicky turned back to see Mr. Mitchell striding down the hallway toward them. Thank God, she thought to herself. Martin shook his head and took a deep breath. No problem, Mr. Mitchell, Martin said. Yeah, me and Luna just talking, that's all, Steve added. We cool, right? As Steve spoke, he stretched out his hand to Martin as if they were friends. For a second, Martin stared at Steve's raised palm as if it was covered in poison. But as Mr. Mitchell came closer, he reached for it. Yeah, we cool, Holmes, Martin said, grasping Steve's hand and rolling through a tense handshake. Their eyes locked for several seconds. Vicky wanted to yell at them both, but Mr. Mitchell was just a few feet away. If he wasn't, the boys would be fighting again. She was sure of it. See, it's just like he told you, Mr. Mitchell. Ain't nothing to worry about, Steve said, forcing a fake smile. He then dropped Martin's hand as if it was an empty can he had just gulped dry. Later, Luna, he added, heading toward the gym. Vicky nudged Martin toward Bluford's main doors, away from Mr. Mitchell, who eyed them closely as they passed. She could feel him staring at her back as she rushed down the long corridor. She was careful not to go too fast, though she couldn't get out fast enough. Man, that dude ain't ever gonna stop, Martin grumbled as they stepped outside. Just ignore him. He's just starting with you, so you'll do something stupid, Vicky said, looking at her watch. She couldn't stand that she had to go home already, and that all their time together was spent dealing with Steve. The whole afternoon was ruined. I don't even want to talk about him. Martin frowned. Yeah, well, I think he wants to talk about you. I saw the way he was looking at you before I showed up. He's still into you. Vicky rubbed her temples as her head began to throb. Teresa had said the same thing when she and Steve first broke up. He totally sweats you, Teresa had insisted. I see him looking at other girls, but not the way he looks at you. Vicky had ignored her, but now she wondered if maybe it was true. She remembered how Steve reacted when she broke up with him. They were at St. Anna's Church Carnival last July. Steve had won her a toy tiger by throwing darts at a wall of balloons. After he won, he laughed at a smaller kid next to him who failed to hit anything. "Man, you should let my girl throw 'em for you," he had joked. The kid was probably in middle school. He ignored the comment and didn't even raise his eyes to look at them. Steve chuckled when the boy left a few seconds later. He had done similar things before, making Vicky cringe inside. But at that instant, watching the nervous boy walk away, Vicky thought of Danny. She knew how Steve would treat him if he was at Blueford. Danny, with his acne, reddish hair, and wiry arms, Steve would target him for sure. The thought lit a spark inside her, one that spread into a wildfire. An hour later, they were leaving, and she couldn't hold back any longer. "I can't do this, Steve. I'm sorry, but I don't want to see you anymore," she had said finally. She had threatened it before. They were always fighting, but this time was different. Steve seemed to know it. He was quiet for several seconds. Then he grunted, bit his lip, and lowered his head, as if the news was a weight pressing down on his shoulders. "I knew this was coming," he said, kicking a can across the street. "You're the only one who makes me think about how things were back in the day. And you know what? I'm tired of thinking, and I'm tired of fighting with you all the time. Do what you gotta do. I ain't stopping you," he mumbled, keeping his eyes hidden from hers. His voice sounded heavy and hoarse. "I don't need you anyway. I don't need no one." He had stormed away without looking back. The next day, Vicky heard from Teresa that he had crushed Roiland Bailey in football practice. But for her, it was over. She hadn't seen him all summer, and during the first week of classes, he acted strangely normal, as if they were friends again. But since Martin arrived, everything went sour. Vicky's mind raced. Her stomach suddenly felt as if it was sinking. Maybe Teresa and Martin were right. Maybe Steve wasn't over her. Maybe all the trouble with Martin was because of her. It made too much sense. "I don't even know why you were talking to him," Martin fumed, breaking her thoughts. "Why did you ever go out with someone like that?" She could hear the anger in his voice, but there was something else lurking there too that she didn't like. "It was complicated," Vicky replied. "He wasn't always such a jerk. Besides, I didn't ask him to come to my locker. He came to me," she said, trying to be honest. But as she uttered the words, she could see they bothered Martin. "What do you mean complicated? How come you never told me about this?" he barked. The anger in his voice was sharp and mixed with jealousy. It caught Vicky off guard. Their afternoon was crashing down in jagged pieces all around her. "What's your problem, Martin?" she shot back, torn between guilt about Martin's troubles and anger at the way he was suddenly hurling questions at her. "Steve and I were never serious." "Then why do you say it's complicated?" Martin huffed. Vicky couldn't believe her ears. It was as if Martin felt threatened. "Look, Martin, what do you want me to say? I went out with him for a while, but it's over. You hear me? Over. You don't hear me asking you about every girl you went out with." "Yeah, well, that's 'cause I ain't never felt this way before, Vicky. There wasn't anybody else like you, okay? You don't have nothing to worry about. Martin said. He locked his eyes on hers for a second. They were dark and stormy. She saw the hurt in them, insecurity, the imprint of painful experiences, events she didn't even know about. Martin? Come on, let's go to Nico's, he grumbled, walking down the main steps ahead of her, his hands in the pockets of his baggy black hoodie, his shoes scuffing on the steps. I can't, Martin, she said. What? Vicky felt as if she was being pulled in opposite directions, as if she was about to rip in half somehow. My mom needs me to take care of my grandfather. She left me a message in the office, she explained. I have to go straight home to be with him. Martin nodded slowly as the news sank in. She could see he was disappointed. Look, I'm sorry. Believe me, I'd rather go out with you than go home, she added. I can't stand it there right now. No problem. You gotta do what you gotta do, right? He said quickly. Too quickly. Like his words meant the opposite of what he said. That there was a problem. He started walking away. Martin. Nah, it's all good, Vic. I gotta see my counselor tonight anyway, remember? Gonna work on them anger management issues, he added. She could hear the bitterness in his voice as he crossed the street. Look, I'll call you, okay? She said. She thought maybe he mumbled something, but she wasn't sure. A loud truck passed between them, and by the time it pulled away, Martin was halfway down the block, rushing away from her. He didn't turn back.